when people invite me onto their podcast, we talk about podcasting, which is fun. Like, I love podcasting. I love talking about it. And I was like, I'm actually talking about Vampire Diaries, which is my favorite thing, which I know I filled out in the form. And my mom was like, no, you're not. Like, you're lying. I was like, no, I'm actually talking about Vampire Diaries. It's like, it's a whole podcast about that. I wish it was. I'm waiting for my invite on like a Vampire Diaries fan podcast because I have so much to say. But I'm very excited for like more casual vibes because I feel like it's most of the ones that I and my own are a bit more not like, I don't know. They're just like, not as casual. You know what I mean?
I got you.
You got me.
For sure. Yeah, it's going to be fun, I think. So I'll do my intro here.
Yeah.
Sure. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Real Ones. I am your awesome host, David. And today I am joined by Stacey Speranza. Hello, Stacey.
Hello. How's it going, everyone?
I'm fantastic. I hope everyone's fantastic as well. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. I'm so excited. I love all things podcasting. My favorite thing.
I love it. I know you just said you don't want to talk about podcasting, but I do want to shout out your podcast and give you a chance to kind of bring it to my audience of people, because I think that it's fantastic the way that it empowers women. And it's really, really entertaining. So if you want to just give a little synopsis of it.
Yes, of course. Love talking about business casual. Well, thank you so much for that very nice intro. I'm the co-founder and host of the Business Casual podcast, which is an interview-based podcast. So we typically have on guests, and each week we interview someone new. We only highlight female voices, and we talk about everything from their career journey to struggles they faced, if they went in an untraditional career path, how they got there, and why they chose that path. We've had CEOs, Academy Award nominees, health and fitness, entrepreneurs. Like, we really have tried to have a wide range of guests, because one thing that I always struggled with was the idea that I had to go into finance, accounting, or marketing, because I just didn't feel like any of those boxes really fit me. So that is kind of the brief synopsis of our show. We are about 52 episodes in now, and we're actually hosting our first ever in-person event. So if you're listening to this and you're from Toronto, definitely recommend, if you're free March 6th, come to our event. You can find more information on our Instagram. You can just look up the Business Casual podcast. But yeah, that's kind of like a brief intro of Business Casual. I can spend so long talking about it, so I'll keep it brief.
Nice. Of course, your Instagram will be linked in the description thing, so people don't have to look it up. Come on.
The show notes, of course. He's a true broadcaster. He knows.
That's right. No, I mean, okay, I do want to talk about the Business Casual for a few minutes, if you don't
mind. No, of course, I love talking about Schedule. No, you don't have to bother. I love talking, trust me. Like, if there's one thing I'll talk about, like, it's Business Casual podcast, and even if you don't bring it up, I'll probably bring it up, so I'm ready for it.
Because I do think your podcast, like I said, it's amazing, and it kind of helped inspire me to start up my own podcast again. I think it's awesome. I love, just from a marketing perspective, because I know you're in marketing, as am I, your branding with your sister is awesome.
Thank you.
I love that Instagram.
Thank you.
So how did you come up with it?
So I think the story goes back to first year. It was peak pandemic, not even peak pandemic. It was like just like pandemic had just started. I was kicked out of res. I was sent home. And I feel like in first year, everything was just so overwhelming. And I had no idea what I was doing with my life, truly. I was really lost in terms of what career path I was going into. I just was feeling very lost in all aspects of my life. Obviously, the pandemic did not help with that. And I was very grateful to, like, my family wasn't affected, like, health-wise. So I was grateful to, like, have that time to spend exploring other passions and interests. And so I kind of started a lot of things. Like, I was going to start a YouTube channel because I always wanted to be a YouTuber when I was younger. So I was like, okay, this is my time. I'm going to start a YouTube channel. I never even filmed a video, never got around to posting one. Like, that just didn't stick. I wanted to start a business, didn't have any ideas. So that didn't really work out for me. I also said I was going to start like content creation and influencing. Oh. So I remember like I spent a whole day during the pandemic just emailing brands being like, hey, like, I'm Stacey, like, let's work together. I don't even know what I was expecting to get back from them. That didn't really work out either. But the podcast was the one idea that I had that really, it just like stayed in my head for months. And I think for me, what it came down to was I had had so many wonderful conversations and met so many women in my first year of university. And I wish I had had those conversations saved and recorded so I can go back and refer to. And a lot of my friends at the time had been asking me, how do you do coffee chats? Or how do you get this person to talk to you? How did you get on a call with them? In my first year, I was lucky enough to go to the NHL head offices and meet with their senior director of marketing at the time, or actually I still the senior director of marketing, who her name is Nicole, and she was on Business Casual about a year and a half later. And I just wish I was able to record that and put it out there for other people to use as a resource. And so that's when the wheels started turning. I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm onto something here. I actually, before I started Business Casual, wasn't a huge podcast fan. Like, I didn't really listen to as many podcasts as I do now. And I still feel like then it wasn't as big as it is now. I really struggled. And I said to people I was starting a podcast, people were like, what is that? Like, oh, I've heard of that. But like, how do I listen to that? Or even my parents were very confused about what it was and how it was going to work. And my sister, who we have very different skill sets, but we just complement each other so well, was like, okay, I'm with you on this. I'll handle all the graphic design. And she's a freelance and self-taught graphic designer. So she kind of took all that on, and it was very fun kind of seeing the brand come to life. And I think it's definitely evolved from when we first started to what it is now. And our like branding has changed a little bit, and we've become a little bit more sophisticated, and the content we produce is a little bit different, but the main messaging is still there. So I guess to go back to your initial question of how did it start, it was just an idea that I had that I just couldn't shake, and I didn't find anything on the market that I was envisioning. And what I was envisioning was a podcast that was very female-centric and focused on business, but made it fun. And I just couldn't find that. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to start it. I had absolutely no experience. It was definitely rough at the beginning. I cringed so hard listening to our first 10 episodes, maybe even 12 to 15 episodes. But it's been the best project I've ever started, and has opened up so many doors. I've met so many people through the podcast, and it is now my favorite thing. I never thought that, if you told me in first year that this is what would be my like biggest passion and my favorite thing to do in fourth year, I would have thought you were crazy, because I didn't even listen to podcasts then. And now I just like, I think everyone, I don't think podcasting is for everyone. I think everyone should be a podcast listener. Yeah. But I think there are a lot of people out there who have great personalities and great insights. And so I think if you have the idea, I think you should just start it and go for it, because I just think it's such a cool medium and platform and way to create content that is so unique from everything else that's in the world right now. One thing I always say when people talk about starting a podcast or if it's too saturated is I'm just fascinated that as a Gen Z who consumes short form content and I have such a small attention span, I'm able to listen to someone's voice for an hour and a half without getting bored. Like, it's such a weird, when you think about it that way, like, it's very strange why podcasts are so popular, but I love it. And I hope that, and I know that they're actually only going to get bigger. I don't hope, it's definitely going to keep getting bigger. Right. So that is my long winded. You can tell I have a podcast because I can talk for a long time and I love speaking. So
I love it.
That is kind of a long winded answer of how it started and kind of what the inspiration was behind it.
I think it's so funny when you were talking about like you had these aspirations in the pandemic to be a content creator and everything, because I had the same thoughts. I wanted to do content. I wanted to be a YouTuber. At one point I wanted to be like a director of a short film. It didn't work too well, but I love that character development.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
And you know what? I think even with the podcast, it could have been something that was very fleeting. I think maybe if it wasn't interview based, I think maybe we might not have stuck with it. I think because it was interview based and I had other people not holding me accountable, because obviously no one holds me accountable. It's just myself and my sister. But I think because there was other people involved, it was exciting and it was something new. And obviously during the pandemic, there was nothing to look forward to. So this was just something fun to look forward to. And then before you know it, you blink and we're coming up 3 years now this summer.
Yeah. It doesn't feel real, honestly. But with the Business Casual, I wonder, did you expect to see this kind of explosion in growth? Also, congratulations on 1,000 followers.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Thank you. Very big milestone. I feel like Instagram is just so hard to grow on, and we were so stagnant for so long. I never thought it was going to be. actually, when we started, I remember telling my sister, this is going to be a 10-episode thing. Let's get to 10 episodes. And then we can, because we thought, okay, if we do less than 10 episodes, it's kind of like, oh, he started it and he didn't finish it. But like 10 is like a sweet number. Like if we produce 10 episodes, it's like, hey, that was so cool. We did like one season and that was it. And I swear that is what was in my mind. Like I thought after 10, we were going to stop. But I just, like, for lack of a better word, became addicted to it. I just loved aspect of having these conversations and recording it and creating these fun graphics. And I think also being a student your whole life and having people tell you what to do and having always having like a boss and someone to ask for permission. The business casual was the first thing that I've ever worked on where no one was telling me what I could and couldn't do with it. Like, I had free control. Again, always with my sister, we go back and forth, but we were always pretty much on the same page. So I never felt like I had to get approval from her or anything. I feel like we were always kind of, if she has an idea, I'm kind of like, yeah, go for it. And then vice versa. Right. So I think that is also what really like got me so into it, because it was just fun and there was no limits on what we could do and we could be so creative with it. But I never thought, even now when I look back at our growth, I sometimes forget where we started. Because I think with podcasting, a lot of like celebrities and influencers and people who already have a pretty big presence on the internet are turning to podcasting, or big brands are turning to podcasting. And that's great. Like, no shame to them. But obviously, they already have a following. So people are already invested, already love their personality and are going to listen to their podcast.
Right.
No one knows who Stacey is. I mean, other than like my close family and friends, like my inner social network. It's not like people all around the world know my name or have this like massive social media following. So I never thought that it was going to reach as wide of an audience as it has. But now that I'm here, I'm like, the goalpost just keeps moving. Like, I'm like, we are not done. We have so much more to grow. We have so many ideas. And I feel like where we're going with Business Casual just keeps getting wider and wider and the doors just keep opening. And that's so exciting. Obviously, podcast growth is very slow. I mean, for 3 years, have we grown exponentially? Like, no, obviously there's been a lot of slow months or months where really we didn't see any growth, or like for the first year and a half, you know, I had like 10 to 15 listeners in all of my episodes and I was spending like hours upon hours upon hours. But I think if you're in it for the right reasons and you love what you're doing and you love the conversations you're having, those numbers don't really mean as much. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I think I care more about the numbers now than I did when I first started, because now I like see the possibility and now I like really want to reach as many people as possible. Now, I feel like at the beginning I was still figuring things out. I was just kind of learning and having fun with it. Whereas now I really have like stepped into my role as like co-founder of the brand. And outside of just a podcast, like the whole brand around the Business Casual and our mission. And I really owned it in the last year, I would say. And now I'm like, okay, I'm ready to take this to the masses. Like, I want as many people as possible to know about it. And that took a long time to develop. So I got a long-winded answer, but I never thought it was going to be as big as it is now. But now that I have seen where we've gone, the sky's the limit. Like, we're not stopping anytime soon. It's only going to get bigger from here.
I love that. No, one thing I heard from someone I talked to, my friend Sean, he said his work as like a content creator is a labor of love. And I feel like that's something that I love. It's just like when you put more work into something and more effort, it's just you reap the rewards and you love the results, no matter how big or small.
100%. And I think that sometimes with podcasting, people don't realize how much work it actually is. I think especially because so many people have tried starting a podcast or have had a podcast at some point, a lot of people look at it from the outside and are like, that's so easy. Like, anyone can have a podcast. And I'm not saying that you can't. It's very accessible to start one and it's very easy. There's low barriers to start one. Yeah. But there is a lot of work that goes into it, especially if you're interview-based. Even if you're not, prepping for the show, like the equipment you need, the editing time, the marketing time, it's not as simple as people think. So there definitely is. And I am lucky enough to have my sister, and now we're with a team. We have an editor and we are part of a network. So we have, we don't edit anymore, which has been so nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so I don't even know how someone by themselves does it. Like, I don't know how you, I'm assuming you do everything on your
own. Yeah, I'm by myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't really know how you do it. I think I would have quit a long time ago because it's really tough by yourself to do everything. My sister and I have our own roles and that's great. And we have an editor that takes over the editing for us. And it's still a lot of freaking work, especially as a full-time student.
Yeah.
And I think everyone in this world is busy nowadays. So there's definitely a lot that goes into it, but it definitely is very rewarding.
I can imagine. I think you guys deserve all the success you get because you put in a lot of work. Thank you. And the one thing for me that I'll say, the way that I'm able to manage it is I cut out a very crucial responsibility, and that's editing. I don't really edit anything.
Okay, so, you just leave everything in. No, that's good.
Keep it raw, you know?
I love that. I never edited, so I really have no... My sister did it at the beginning, and she hated it. It was her least favorite job. She would really dread the editing process, which I don't blame her. And then we started working with Claire, who's been with us now for over a year. She joined September 2021, and she's just the best. She knows how I like it edited. She has, like, all of our music. She... bing, bang, gets it done. So it's very nice that we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Quick shout out to Claire for doing her job. So I have two more questions about it because I don't know. I've been such a fan. I'm like, oh my God, I'm talking to you as Stacey, as someone I met at a networking event. Yeah. And then also Stacey as like the host of a podcast that I like. And it's like, oh my God. Who has been your favorite guest that you've interviewed so far?
Oh my gosh, it's so tough. It's honestly so hard to narrow into one. I feel like I've gone through phases. I think there are a few conversations that really stick out to me. Alexis Robinson, who is the head of government security at Amazon Web Services. One, she has an insanely cool job. She started in IT, and you're like, that's so boring. Why is that a fun job? She has paved a way for herself in big tech, and she's literally in charge of making sure that classified documents for the United States of America stay classified and are able to move without being hacked and are protected. And she was just so personable and brought so much energy to the show. Because one thing about Business Casual, which surprises a lot of people, is that I actually have never met most of them before we filmed together. We don't do like a pre-call that we like get to know each other. Like, I don't know any of these women most of the time. So the first time I'm meeting them is when we just film for Business Casual. And a lot of them, or all of them, are done virtually. I've never had an episode be done in person. So it's a gamble sometimes. You don't know if you're going to get someone who's like really energetic or has ever even been on a podcast. So I would say hers definitely sticks out. One that was also very popular was with the Visual Studios. I'm going to butcher her position. She works for Marvel Studios, and she was like a visual coordinator. Her name is Kelly Burrows, and her whole role was about helping put together the visuals that you see in a movie. So I think she was using an example from Doctor Strange, and she was like talking about what the cube that he holds. Like, she was asking the actors, like the directors and the producers, like what they envision this cube to look like. And then she works with the animation team and the CGI teams, like, put this together. And she kind of like spearheads this whole thing to put together everything visual that you see on the screen outside of the actors. I didn't even know that role existed. So that conversation was very interesting. And then a recent one that I love is one that was just posted at the beginning of January, talking about Google and big tech. And she's the head of strategy, brand strategy for YouTube at Google. And her name is Karen. She was just such a lovely down-to-earth lady and so personable and just so sweet. And I just have nothing but amazing things to say about her. So I would say those are like the top three. But truly, all of our episodes, I think, have really great value, really great insight, and really good advice. That's kind of my three targets with every episode. I want to educate people, I want to inspire people, and I want to empower them. So I hope that if you listen to an episode, that's kind of what you come away with.
Absolutely. I mean, those episodes that you mentioned, especially, I'm not the best with names, but the one with from Marvel.
Yes, Kelly.
Yes, that podcast, I listened to it, that episode. It was so cool to hear about the behind the scenes, and I love Marvel. So to hear how she like has a direct impact on all these movies that I love, like, that's awesome.
That was one of our like first episodes that we were like, whoa, like, how did we get so many listeners on this? And she had posted on her LinkedIn, and she had just recently joined Marvel, or she had just recently put it on her LinkedIn, and so a lot of people didn't know about that she was at Marvel, and then they listened to the episode. I don't know, but that was one episode where we reached a lot of people, and rightfully so. Her role is just very cool. And you don't hear about these types of positions just in your everyday life. You don't even know they exist.
I think that's really cool. That's a very unique proposition.
Yes.
So the last thing I'll ask before we get into the less professional stuff is what's the biggest lesson that you've learned from having your own podcast?
So much. I think I've learned a lot about kind of going back to what I was talking about before of like owning your brand. I, at the beginning, when I started Business Casual, would never bring it up to people. If someone asked about it, I would be like, oh yeah, like a small thing I'm doing. And that was, I would change the subject. Now I am like 180 degrees so different. Like if you have a class with me, if you meet me, you will know I have a podcast. And not in like a weird, like annoying way, but just in a way where I want as many people to know about it. And I've realized that I am the face of the brand. As the host of the show, if people are going to listen to it, they're going to like buy into me and they're going to need to like me and like my interview style and like my voice and how I present myself and how I carry the interview. So I've just feel like I've really learned how to embrace that and a little bit about self-promotion and how to effectively communicate my brand in a way that is intriguing to people when they first meet me. I think that's one thing. And then I think the other thing is just like patience. I feel like, I think like we were talking about, we were at like 700-800 followers for so long and I felt there was no growth, and just how it's a very slow process, but patience is just sometimes what is needed to get you where you're supposed to go. I think patience is something I've learned, and also just dealing with rejection. I had someone recently ask me how I deal with being ghosted, and I think I've just gone to a point right now where I don't even think about it as being ghosted. If someone says no to me, that's water off my back. I really just move on, because there are 7 billion people in this world, and if one person says no, I can't change that. Someone else out there is going to say yes. And obviously, especially at the beginning, and even still now, I have to email like 50 plus guests every month in order to get the guests on our show, because a lot of people just don't have the time. They don't think our podcast is credible enough yet, or they don't think it's worth their time, or whatever it might be. So I think dealing with rejection and just being ghosted is also something I've learned. So I feel like those are my top three things.
Yeah, rejection is one thing I've been learning slowly, just to kind of, it's like, it's nothing personal, you know?
It's not personal at all. And I look back, I had a Snapchat memory come up from a couple, 2 years ago, or yeah, I think it was 2 years ago, a couple months ago, and it was like, oh, someone just ghosted me. We were supposed to have a meeting for the podcast, and now I'm sitting in this room alone. And it was just like this whole thing I'd saved on my Snapchat. I'd obviously sent it to some of my friends. And I look back and I was like, why did I care so much? Like, I was like just like giving myself self-pity. And yeah, obviously it sucked in the moment, but like it wasn't really a big of a deal. It's just not, in the grand scheme of things, that one call didn't end the podcast. It didn't like make us not able to continue releasing episodes. So right. I feel like in the moment you think it's such a big deal, but it's really not when you, in the grand scheme of things, when you really zoom out and look at it from like the grand perspective, big picture.
I love that. I love bringing wisdom to the real ones. So now I'm going to try to segue this as best as I can. The Hunger Games is awesome.
I love the Hunger Games. No, oh. Guys, I'm actually like such a big fangirl. It's one thing about me I feel like people don't know about me is I am the biggest fangirl ever. I've always been a big fangirl. If we're talking about like One Direction, Hunger Games, Divergent, Gossip Girl, like those were all like my shows. And you'd think that after like, okay, like everyone we're teenagers is kind of a fangirl. No, I'm still a big fangirl. Like I am obsessed with the Vampire Diaries. I am obsessed with Taylor Swift. Like I'm still such a fangirl at heart, and it's kind of embarrassing. Like you want to like want to say it out loud, but I feel like it's the one thing. I feel like one of your questions when we were talking was like, what's something people don't know about you, or what's something that you don't really talk about a lot? And that's honestly one of it. So I don't know if that was the segue you were looking for, but that's my little.
Wait, how do you know about that? That's something I've asked before.
What?
That like, what's one thing people don't know about you?
Was that not on the form, or am I just making things up?
Oh, maybe it was. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes I forget, but I thought like you listen. Anyways. Yeah. What do you love about the Hunger Games? Because I love it too. I don't know if I'm a fan girl about it, but it is fun.
Okay, I'm gonna tell a story first about it. I'll tell you what I like about it, but I have a story that I want to share. So when I was 12 or 13, I'm not sure how old I was, the Toronto International Film Festival, TIFF, it was in September, and I don't know if it was like in the middle of Hunger Games or if all the movies had come out yet, but Josh Hutcherson, who plays Peeta Mullarky in the Hunger Games, was coming for a movie. He was like coming to one of the screenings because he was an actor in some other movie. And all I'd been asking for all summer was tickets to go see this movie. And so my mom had gotten me tickets and my aunt had come with me too because she was part of TIFF back then. So she was able to get us tickets. And he was there and I was freaking out. And all I wanted to do was meet him. So the movie starts. And if you've never been to TIFF, the way it works is the stars sometimes come out beforehand. And then the movie starts. They'll sit down. And at the end, they'll come back for a Q&A. So we knew he was there. The movie starts. And my mom and my aunt are like, okay, he's going to go sit down now. So let's like try and go outside where the bathrooms are to see if we can see him get seated. It just so happened that the exact moment I walked out of the theater, we got Roy Thomson Hall. He was walking in. We were on the upper level. So I was like, I don't know, let's make up a number. We were H and he was sitting in like G. So like right next to us. And he was walking into like that section of the theater. There's no one around. Like everyone is seated for the movie. The movie has just started. I am screaming my head off. Like, I'm like, Josh, like Josh, yelling. Security guards are pushing him in. And he's like, and I'm like, no, no, like please. And my mom is like, can she get a picture? Can she? I'm like running towards him at this point. I'm like 13, like braces, glasses.
I love it.
Any makeup. Like this was prime. Hunger Games was in its prime at this time. And the security guards were pushing him in. And he was like, no, no, like I'll take one photo. I don't remember what I said to him. I remember my mom was like, oh, let me take a photo. And then I was like, no, it's okay. I'm just gonna get a selfie. And it was so awkward. And I have this very awkward selfie with him. But I genuinely think I cried after that. I thought that my life was made. And that was just like, that was it for me. Like that was the peak of my life. I thought that was it. And to this day, he is still the biggest celebrity I've met. I actually also met Carly Rae Jepsen in her prime in New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Was this like, what's her song? Was this like Call Me Maybe, Carly?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That
and it
is,
was like, oh. It was in her prime. Like,
oh my God.
Like that song had just come out or like had come out like a year and a half, 2 years ago. I was in New York and she walked by us and we were like, Carly Rae Jepsen? And then she turned back around and she was dating some other famous band member at the time. I didn't know who he was, but apparently he was also famous and he was with her at the time. But we only asked for a photo with her. So I have a photo of me and my sister. We were younger. I think I was like eight or nine. And my sister and I are taking a photo with her. I think those are my only two celebrity people that I've actually gotten a photo with.
No Taylor Swift yet?
Oh, I think I would actually, between Taylor Swift, if I had to pick, or Ian Somerhalder, if you guys are Vampire Diaries fans. I know Paul Wesley was in Toronto a lot this last year because he was filming Star Trek, I think it was. And I know a lot of people who saw him on the street or took photos with him, and I was so jealous, like so jealous. But I think if I had to pick, I would pick Ian Somerhalder over Taylor Swift. Sorry, yeah.
No. So what is Vampire Diaries? Like, I've seen it. I know it's a show, but like, I don't mind. Like, I don't know what to classify it as.
It's like teen drama.
Tween drama.
Tween. We won't even say teen. We'll say tween.
Tween drama, yeah. Like, I don't mind that. Like, I love New Girl.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet. Everyone keeps telling me to watch it.
So you're missing out. It's phenomenal. And like, oh my God, what's it? Jane the Virgin? Like, I don't know if that's tween. But so
I
Vampire.
I feel like they're more. Those are more teen.
You're kind of in the older, upper age range.
I feel like you're like high school. Actually, Vampire Diaries is also high school. Honestly, I just love the characters. I am not into very serious TV shows. Like for someone who's 22, you know, you'd think that my favorite shows would be like Breaking Bad, the Game of Thrones. I never got into those shows, any of them. I watched Ozark for like a season, one or two seasons, but I liked Ozark. Ozark was good.
It's so slow though. Ozark is so slow.
Yeah. I just, when I like want to sit down and watch a show, I just want to watch like something very lighthearted. Mm-hmm. Vampire Diaries is also very like corny and cheesy, and I'm a hopeless romantic, so I love that aspect of those like early 2000 teen shows. I also just love the characters. I think the Salvatore brothers are very attractive. So I love that aspect. And I like the fantasy aspect too. So I feel like Hunger Games, Vampire Diaries, those are kind of my two favorite. Like, they kind of fall in the same category, I feel like. Okay, what is it about, you asked?
I'm going to look up a photo of the Salvatore brothers so I can see who these
attractive men are.
They're very handsome men.
Right?
They have like their jawlines are just like, like chiseled from marble.
Literally. They look a little bit older now, but they still think they aged gracefully. So on the show, they drink a lot of bourbon. It's basically those two guys that you're looking at the photo of, they're vampires. And they go to this town where they've been living for like 500 years or like 500 years old because vampires don't age. And it's very, there's like 7 or 8 seasons. And so there's a lot of different storylines going on. But then there's this girl, her name is Elena. Both the brothers fall in love with her, like a whole love triangle thing. And she has two best friends, and her one best friend ends up becoming a witch. And her other best friend ends up turning into a vampire. And they're all just like a big vampire clan, and there's these like other vampires that come. It's just a whole thing. But where was I going with this?
The Salvatore brothers.
So they drink a lot of bourbon on the show, and they came out now like 10 years after the show was done. I think it's been 10 years since the last episode aired, with their own bourbon brand called Brothers Bond. And for the last 2 years I have been trying to get my hands on it, and my mom has tried, my dad has tried, my sister has tried, everyone has tried to get me this bourbon, and I cannot find it. Every time I go to the States, it's either they don't sell it anywhere where I'm close to, or I don't know. I'm going to Boston though next week, and I am going to try and look again because I think they have some stores in Boston that might have it. But
nice.
I'm really looking. But
are you a bourbon?
No. This is just for sentimental. This is just habit. Just because I feel like it gets me closer to them. I don't know.
Never going to open it. Just like have it on like the mantle or on the shelf.
Yeah, never going to open it.
I like that. Are you a fan of The Office?
A hot take. I know. I've watched a few episodes. It's not that I don't like it. I like watching the clips.
Okay.
I just have never been able to stick with it. Like, I'll watch an episode, and then nothing entices me to watch the next one. So then I just get distracted. But I should also say that I'm not very much a TV person. I'm a big scroller, which is terrible. I need to stop. I watch a lot of YouTube, and I spend a lot of time on TikTok. I don't really watch that many TV shows. That's be like a really good TV show. Actually, that's such a lie. I watch terrible TV. I watch like Emily in Paris.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much that I hate it.
Yeah. I liked the first season a lot. It's like, it's an easy show to watch. Like, it's not too deep. I've also said a lot of people, I've had like one or two people tell me that I remind them of Emily. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep watching. So I make sure I like see everything. But I did like I like the concept, but I think it's like a fun concept.
Yeah.
What did I also say I just finished that was really good? Oh, Only Murders in the Building. Great show. If you haven't watched it, I feel like it's very underrated. It's with Selena Gomez and Martin Short.
Selena Gomez, like speaking of like tween crushes, she was like the person I wanted to marry when I was like 13.
Oh, she's a good one. Love Selena.
Yeah. That's cool. Is it on Netflix?
Selena. It's on Disney Plus.
Fantastic. I love
you watch shows. Reality TV?
It's my guilty pleasure. Absolutely.
What shows?
So it depends on what platform. Like on Netflix, I watched all like the Love is Blind, with Dated and Related. What's the other one? Not Love is Blind, not Dated and
Related. Too Hot to Handle?
Yes. I love it so much. I don't like anyone on it, but it's really addicting.
Yeah. Did you watch The Circle? Do you watch
the Yes. Oh my God. I watched it with my girlfriend. Like, we binge it.
The last season, though, I just couldn't get attached to any of the characters. Or not? Oh my God, not characters. They're real people. They're not characters.
I call them characters, too. I forget.
But I just feel like the last season that just came out, I had watched all the other ones, and I loved, especially the first season was so good. I was addicted the first few seasons. And my boyfriend watches Big Brother. He loves Big Brother. And he was like, oh, someone from Big Brother's on. Like, we have to watch it. I hated everyone on the... There's also a Greek girl on it, so I was like, oh, I'm going to watch it for the Greek girl because I'm Greek. And I just did not like anyone. I found everyone like kind of trashy and like hard to watch. It was like very cringy to the point where like even I was cringy, and usually I don't really get very cringed out. But I also love reality TV. Do you watch Summer House at all?
What's that? No.
It's on cable TV. It is. Yeah, I know. I live at home, so we still have cable.
Fair enough.
It basically is these group of, they're in their late 30s, early 40s. Honestly, they're kind of old, but they act like they're 20. And they live in New York, and they rent this summer house in the Hamptons. And so they all go, I'm trying to think of what show it's similar to. Not The Bachelor, because it's not like a dating show. But they're all basically friends, and they go to this summer house every weekend. And they have these like parties, and there's all this drama, and they bring new people onto it. It's kind of like Housewives, ooh, but for like frat party house vibes for the Real Housewives. But it's pretty good. Some of the characters are great, okay, and it is very entertaining. I don't know if you can get it on any streaming platform, though.
I'll find a way. I don't know. This is so random, but you're talking about like you're a scroller. Do you ever see those videos on TikTok where it's like part one and then part one and like part two, part three of like a video or a show or whatever?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I didn't understand what you're talking about, but yes, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Like that. I don't know if you're the same. I have an issue where I will spend more time than the actual length of the video trying to find every
find
part.
It?
Yeah.
I also get that sometimes. Especially if it's, do you watch Impractical Jokesters? I love that
yes,
show.
I
love that show. If there's ever any of those ones, I'm always looking for the next part, even if I already know what's going to happen. But I just, during the day, if I have like a 30-minute break, I just don't, my first thought isn't to let me watch an episode of a show.
Right.
I just, my sister's opposite. She has watched every single show. If she has 30 minutes of her time, like she's going to watch an episode of a show. I just don't have that same desire. I'm also trying to not scroll as much on mm-hmm. at night, and I'm trying to read. I'm getting back into reading. I was a huge reader when I was younger, and I love romance, and I'm a big Colleen Hoover fan now, as every other girl on TikTok. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to read. I finished one book in first semester, which I was very proud of, because also as a student, it's so hard to, you're reading all day and then at night.
It's hard to want to
read. Yeah, I know. But I've had some luck with some books being really good.
Like what?
So I loved It Ends With Us. And then the sequel or the prequel is It Starts With Us. So I just finished those. I read Verity. I have The Paris Apartment next on my list. Another one. Oh, what is it called? The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Literally any popular book talk book I've read. Okay. There was another one though. Oh, The Lies That Bind Us. I've never heard anyone talk about this book. It is a fictional story based off 9/11, which is obviously very sad, but it doesn't really focus on 9/11. It is a fictional love story. It was so entertaining. I was really just, I had to keep flipping the pages. It was really good. I think I finished it in a few days. That one is a 10 out of 10. Would recommend. And right now I'm reading this very stupid book. It's called The Do-Over. Don't read it. The Love Do-Over, yeah. I think. I don't know. It's just terrible.
Is that a cheesy romance novel?
It's so cheesy. It's so cheesy. I need to stop, actually. I keep telling everyone that I need to stop reading this book. It's basically Groundhog Day, but it's about Valentine's Day. So she's living Valentine's Day every single day. And she thinks it's going to be amazing. But then her boyfriend cheats on her. It's so corny. It's
what?
Like, she's in high school. She's like in high school. Yeah, it's not very good.
That's drama. Mm-hmm. But no, that's, I want to start reading, but like, I love drama and I want to start reading, but I find it easier just to find that in reality TV.
Yeah, that's true. No shame in that.
No, I watched one. I don't know if you watched Instant Hotels. It's on Netflix.
I think I've definitely seen it, like the little icon, and maybe mm-hmm. I've watched the trailer, but I've never watched an episode.
It's amazing. I don't know.
What's it about?
The premise, okay, oh my god, I've never explained it before and I'm so happy to. So it's an Australian-based show and basically it takes a bunch of couples, like six of them, that each have their own, they call it Instant Hotel, but it's like an Airbnb.
Okay.
And so all the other couples will stay in their hotel for a night and at the end of it, they'll give them a rating and it's like privacy, comfort, or sleep, privacy, things to do, and value. And at the end of it, whoever gets the highest score wins $100,000 and then gets to stay in a celebrity's own house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's like, it seems like kind of whatever, but the drama. Oh, the drama.
Okay. I got to add to my list.
It's good. It's like, it's just like a couple of Aussies just having fun and like some people like kind of backstab and it's.
Oh. Okay. Definitely. Oh, sorry about that. That's definitely okay. Have to add that to my list. I definitely need a new show. Gonna add that.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know. sometimes with these podcasts, I don't know if you ever have it. It's like, oh, maybe not for you as much, because I actually, how much do you script your podcast in terms of like questions and preparations in advance?
So I have to give a full script. Like, people want an outline and a guideline, so I do give a full guideline, but I pride myself, maybe I just think I do, but I try not to have it sound scripted. Like, I try to make the questions flow very easily, so if you're listening, mm-hmm. it doesn't seem very scripted, and I think I'm getting better and better at that with every episode. But if like, we're on a topic that I think is really interesting, or we're like, she says something that I didn't really understand or I want to go deeper into, then I'll ask follow-up questions that aren't planned. But for the most part, it's pretty planned. Like, I know what we're going to talk about. Mainly because the guests don't podcast. Like, it's not like a natural thing they do. So they want, yeah. they're like nervous. And some of the episodes we've had, they have to get like approved by corporate, or they have to like get listened by communications and PR before it can get posted and all yeah. that. So it just helps to have the questions so that we know that there's not going to be any issues after we record of like, oh, you can't say that, or you can't ask that, or you have to cut this out because it's just too complicated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like planned but not scripted. I feel that's a good way to describe it.
That's good. Well, it doesn't come across that way, but I was just asking because like sometimes with this, it's kind of just like my mind goes blank sometimes.
No, it's so fair. I mean, I think it also depends on who you have on. Some yeah. people are very good at just keeping the conversation going and giving stories and follow-up questions, asking you questions. And then I have some people where I ask a question, they like answer it, and it's like silence. And I'm waiting for them to like keep going or like continue, and she doesn't. I'm like, okay, we're just going to move on from that. So I think it just depends also on the guest, but that has been my experiences. But I definitely feel like yeah. there have been – also, we've had some episodes that I just never post because I just don't like them. I just really? Didn't like – yeah.
There's unreleased episodes of The Business Casual?
There are two or three that are in the graveyard. And like, they'll never see the light of the day.
Never. Not even like on a super special event.
Man. Never. Never. They haven't happened now in a while, but there are a few in the graveyard. And it just, the guests and I just either didn't, and like not in a bad way. Like, it wasn't that the conversations were bad. It's just like the guest was very dry or didn't really give any, didn't give any good answers. They just like weren't episodes that I would want to listen to. So I was like, mm-hmm. why would I publish this? If I don't want to listen to it, why is anyone else going to want to listen to it? So there are some. And obviously that's very sad because you put a lot of time and effort into it.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
It's just the vibes. That's just about the vibes.
But yeah, how has your experience been? Like, do people ever ask you questions on the real ones? Or is it mainly just the other way around?
So I'll be honest. One thing I like to do at the end, and I guess we can do it now. It's, I like to kind of like throw it back onto the guest and be like, do you have any questions for me about what we talked about now or beyond? And I kind of just like it because I'll ask you now too. Do you have any questions for me? Not that we're not necessarily at the end, but I like it because it kind of like when I ask people, their eyes kind of light up. They're like, give me a second.
Yeah, they want to ask a question. What is your like biggest dream? Actually, wait, you have to talk about Molson because like, wait, do you want to talk about that?
I would love to. Sure.
Okay. Happy to. So guys, if you didn't already know, do you know what team you're working on yet? No.
I do not know.
No, you don't know. But you're a marketing intern, right?
Marketing intern, that's right.
Marketing intern, amazing.
I'm very excited.
How are you feeling about it? Yeah, like tell me.
Oh.
You're just excited. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, sure. I had it like on the topic. I forgot about it. That's so okay. I guess a little bit of context for people that are listening. So yes. I don't know, like late last year, I got an email from my co-op coordinator at TMU.
I thought you were going to say an email from me. I was like, I emailed you last year.
And it was like the last minute. It was the same day. It was just said, urgent. Molson Coors networking event at the Maddie. I'm like, oh, cool. And that day, I like happened to be wearing jeans and like a nice shirt and nice shoes. I'm like, sure, let me just go do that. Why not? I never really had any like plans to, this is where I want to work or anything like that. So I go in. And that's where I met you, Stacey. And then I met Carly and Ava and Lucy. And you guys were talking about everything in Molson. And I was like, I am so pumped right now. That was, like after that, I got really excited because it just seemed like an amazing place to work, Molson. And yeah, that's where I met you. I learned about the company. I won a sweater from Vizzy. And I guess that's where I met you. And from then I applied. I got an interview and the rest is history.
So exciting. Yeah, well, I was an intern last summer, so I've already gone through it, and I am joining in the August, September. I don't have an official start date yet, but as a full-time assistant marketing manager, so I will be returning back to Molson because I had such a good experience, and I honestly, I'm so excited for you. It was so much fun. I also had no intentions of applying to Molson. I really didn't have any, it wasn't like a company that was like on my list of dream companies to work for, but I was just applying to everywhere and anywhere. And when I got the first interview, which is like the recorded one, I was really, really sick and I was leaving for a trip and my throat was really dry and I just sounded terrible. And so I had emailed the recruiter or the HR person who I was dealing with. And I said like, listen, I'm really sick. Like I really can't do this first round of interview. And honestly, if she said like, oh, sorry, there's nothing we can do, I was honestly gonna be like, yeah, whatever. Like I'm just gonna move on and apply somewhere else. But she was like, no worries. Like we loved your application. Like feel free to do it when you return from your trip. I was like, oh, that's so nice. I got back from my trip and I ended up doing it. And then I had the interview. I ended up getting the role. So I was on the Heineken team, which is very confusing because everyone's like, oh, but you worked at Molson. Molson owns the rights to sell and market Heineken in Canada. And so we worked really closely with the Heineken team, which is also, they have a Toronto-based team, but we are in charge of like all the marketing campaigns. We set the sales goals, all that good stuff. And it was during F1 because Heineken was the global sponsor, title sponsor of F1 last year. I think they still are this year. I'm not really sure. It's so terrible of me to say. But I got to go to Montreal and be part of the F1 team. And honestly, the culture is just what, it was so good. Everyone is just so nice. And that's also why I really wanted to return because I loved everyone I worked with. So I'm very excited for you. Is this your first? Did you have like a corporate internship last summer?
No, I'm actually on my first internship right now.
Okay. Oh, you're working right now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're a co-op. I always forget because UFT doesn't have co-op. So I always just like, don't forget that. Yeah, we don't do co-op.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to plug the Business Casual again. Your solo episode for Molson, kind of your summary of it. I was listening to that like on repeat during the interview process because I'm like, okay, I need to make sure that, you know, I'm moving along with what her experiences were.
It's so funny you say that. I'm not sure if you, do you have TikTok? I don't know if we follow each other on TikTok. Okay. Well, I posted a TikTok in the summer, like when I was like my first day on the job, I had made like a very short TikTok about my internship. It wasn't me speaking. It was just like video clips from the day. And I wasn't sure, like at that time, I didn't know anyone. I wasn't sure if I was allowed to like post things or if like what was kind of not allowed. So it was very short. And for some reason, that video did really well. It got like 5,000 or 6,000 views. And so I had so many people message me, not even then when it was posted. This was like back in May, but like recently in the last few months, being like, oh, I saw you worked at Molson. I'm applying and stuff. So one girl from Idaho had messaged me and said, I saw your TikTok. I'd love to ask you more questions. I actually am applying. And so I directed her to the podcast, of course, and I answered like her questions. And then we kind of kept going back and forth and she had more questions. Anyways, long story short, she ended up getting the job. And so now she is working as an HR intern for Molson in Chicago or Milwaukee. I don't know which office this upcoming summer. And she messaged me and she was like, I was literally listening to your Molson episode right up until the interview. And it really helped me, which I'm so happy about because I obviously put the content out there for it to help people. So it's nice it is actually helping people. But I just find it so funny that I'm like, the HR people at Molson are probably like, who is Stacey and why are all these people mentioning her in their resumes and interviews?
That's awesome. And I think, I don't know if you remember this specific part, but I do. It was with your interview with Sasha. And
Sasha is like, I have to give her a shout out just because.
By all means, please.
She is the best. I've been very lucky with both my corporate internships. I had such good managers. Naomi was my manager when I was at Nestle. And I genuinely consider her like a close friend and definitely a mentor. She has helped me like so much, especially with Molson, because at the beginning when I had questions, obviously I could go to Sasha, but at the beginning I didn't have that same relationship. So I would go to Naomi for everything and she would be like my corporate mom and give me everything I needed. And she still now like helps me with any questions I have that I'm like too nervous to ask anyone at Molson about, just in case they're like too embarrassing. But Sasha was so nice and just made my experience so much better. I think all the managers were great, but obviously I'm biased and I think Sasha was the best. So I was so excited when she was coming on Business Casual and she kept telling me she was so nervous. And I was like, you were like, there's nothing to be nervous about. You were just going to do great. And everyone loved that episode.
It was amazing. And I remember listening to it. And as you were talking about the interviews and she mentioned a marketing intern that was wearing a Vizzy sweater, I'm like, oh my God, that's me.
I actually think when we were talking about it, I think in my mind, I like knew it was you. Cause I was like, the only people that had Vizzy sweaters were people who came to that event. Cause they didn't give out Vizzy sweaters at the end of their events. And you were, I think you were the only one that won a Vizzy sweater. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to, you know.
Don't want to flex too hard.
Don't want to toot my own horn. But man, when I heard that, I lost my mind in my car. I'm like, my God.
That is so, because that was posted before or after you knew you got the job?
I think before. Oh, I think before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Because that that was November. I don't remember. The days blend in, months blend in.
Everything blends in.
I'm very excited for you. Do you have a favorite, like what's your favorite Molson brand?
Oh, well, I'm going to preface this by saying I think all the Molson brands in the portfolio are amazing. I don't know. I think they all look really interesting, like the brand itself. I think Vizzy would be really cool to work on. Belgian Moon or Blue Moon. I think that'd be a really cool brand as well because that's my favorite beer.
It's such good beer. Did you go to Stock Market this summer?
No, unfortunately. Oh,
you should go. They have a like pop-up. I don't know if it was a pop-up or a permanent location, but the back bar at Stacked was all Blue Moon, and they had different flavors they don't sell anywhere else, and everything was branded. It was really, really nice. We went quite a bit with like team socials and stuff at work.
That is so cool. Because that was the first beer I ever had when I turned of legal drinking age in Ontario, so I was like, nice. But I don't know if you remember, there was like a whole, I guess, shortage of it. And that was heartbreaking because I used to work at a bar and we were serving it, and that was like what we were selling all the time, and people every day would come in and say, do you have it. I'm like, no, we don't. It was heartbreaking.
I didn't realize how popular it was until I, because to be fair, I did not drink beer really before I started working at Molson, and there's one person that works at Molson. Every time we would go out for like as a team, we would just both not order Molson products. We would get margaritas. Maybe the only people, everyone else would be drinking beer and Molson products. And that one is definitely my favorite beer. I also don't mind Heineken, but Heineken is like really heavy. After F1 weekend though in Montreal, that's all I drank. Like only Heineken. So after that, I was a bit turned off Heineken. Also, not just plug Molson products, but Heineken 00, which is a non-alc brand, is actually really good.
It's good.
And you've tried it? It's good.
It's so good.
Yeah. I didn't know that non-alc beer was popular, but I did quite a bit of work with a non-alc brand this summer. And I did a lot of research into like social media of other non-alc brands and what they're doing, especially like smaller, more local non-alc brands. And it is a very up-and-coming space. I don't still really understand who drinks non-alc beer because I've never been anywhere where anyone's ever ordered one. But I also know that I'm not the target market, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's still kind of a confusing. Oh, there's my dog.
Hi, dog. My dog's on. Oh, I thought she was on my bed. Hi, puppy. No one can see your dog, but I can. That's all that matters. About the non-alc thing, I think from what I understand, it's like I know some people who kind of for like dietary reasons, they can't drink regular beer.
Like gluten-free, yeah.
Yeah. So then it's
okay,
like.
But how many people is that? That's not enough to like sustain a like billion-dollar market like you're saying it's going to grow to be. I don't know. That's just my hot take. I don't know. It's not a hot take, Stace. I think everything I say is a hot. Yeah, it's just a take. It's not a hot take. It's just a take.
So if I can ask, I don't know how much you can talk about now at this point. Like, what did you kind of do with Molson? I'm asking for myself now.
Yeah. I did nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
I did absolutely nothing. I just talked and drank.
Beer. Yeah, literally. No. I had four main projects. So my biggest project was the Soul Summer Party. So I was in charge of bringing together a one-day brand immersive experience for Soul. And the marketing manager for Soul actually left the company 3 weeks into my internship. And so I was supposed to be working on it with her. But when she left the company to take on a new role at Dr. Pepper, no, not Dr. Pepper, at Mox Clematis, she moved to Caesars. They gave me the project. I'm like, okay, you're going to take this on. This is going to be your big project. You're going to own it. And so it happened on July 15th or 16th. And we took over one of the biggest outdoor patios in Toronto at Rendezvous. And we transformed the entire patio. It was completely Soul branded. we were giving away free, not free, we were giving away samples of tall Sol cans when you walked in. If you were legal, it was only legal. You had to be 19 plus to come. And we gave away a trip to Mexico that night. We had a bunch of Sol branded apparel. And really the whole point of the event was to raise brand awareness and get more people to try Sol. And it was very successful. We had like a DJ, we had an MC. It started in the at around 4 p.m. We went all the way until midnight to 1 a.m. And then there was like a little after party at Selva, which is the club attached to Rendezvous. So it was very successful. That was like my main project. So I was at, for that event, I was overseeing four different marketing agencies and working with like supply chain, to getting the beer there, to like designing all the posters and getting the talent, inviting the influencers, working with PR to get it like promoted. Like literally everything about the event, like I was owning. And so every week I had to run these like 14 people meetings, which was so scary because I, for some reason, really struggled with like speaking up in meetings when I was working this summer. I was just like so nervous I was going to say something wrong. So when I had to like actually run a meeting and everyone's way older than me, I'm like, guys, I don't know what I'm talking about. Like someone help me. But I got better. That was my main project. I also worked for Birra Moretti, so the Italian beer. And I was on the Italian Film Festival. So I did two activations and samples and put together like a bar and got to attend a couple of the Italian Film Festival events and was kind of in charge of how we were showing up at that event. And then I also did a really big deep dive into the non-alc sector for Heineken 00. So that was like kind of an ongoing project. I basically put together this like massive PowerPoint that looked at all of our biggest competitors from a social landscape and like partnerships. So who are they partnering with? Where are they showing up? Who are they targeting? From a social media standpoint, what are they doing on their socials that we're not? And then I presented that to both my team as well as to the Heineken global team at one of our quarterly meetings. And then my final project, it never happened, or I don't know if it's still in the works, so I'm not sure if I can exactly talk about it, but I basically helped pitch one of our brands, Strongbow, which is our apple cider, to another brand that's not in the non-alc space to do a partnership together. And so I helped kind of doing the research, putting together the pitch deck, why these two brands are aligned, how they could go to market together. So those were my four main projects. Every single intern's projects were different depending on which brands you were on. I know the Coors Light intern, she redid all of the Coors Light merch and set up the whole merch set for bringing the merch from the States to Canada. The Vizzy intern did all of Pride and like really owned that summer campaign for Vizzy. And then the Coors Seltzer intern, she was in charge of the water restoration project that Coors Seltzer has. So they donate, or for every 12 pack of Coors Seltzer you buy, they help restore water somewhere in Canada. I'm getting the details very fuzzy in my mind, but she really worked on that. So it definitely depends on where. And obviously, like when we were gearing up for F1, I was doing a lot of just like helping with admin stuff. Like we had to allocate tickets and send a bunch of emails and help with just kind of organizing. So I was definitely doing that for a while. And then you also, at the end of the summer, have to put together a PowerPoint of like everything you did and present that to all the senior leadership, plus HR in the States, plus all the managers, plus the interns. And that also, like, pretty much the last couple of weeks, that's like what I was doing full time. So that's kind of like an overview. It was very fun. A lot of the projects were just so cool.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's just making me more excited because that's the kind of stuff I love, like the creativity, even like how you were able to spearhead an event all on your own. That sounds amazing. And the fact that the Sol one was on my birthday, July 16th. I don't know anybody that has my birthday except for like one person. So when things happen on my birthday, I'm like, oh, I love it.
It was also cool for me because my boyfriend got to come, my sister got to come, my, like parent, like everyone, all my friends and family got to come. So it was kind of nice because I'd been working on it all summer. One second.
That's okay. My dog barks all the time.
She's leaving. So it was nice that everyone got to come and celebrate and all my friends got to come. And we had a 360 degree photo booth, which I know is very popular now. But in the summer, it was very innovative. I had never seen that in an event before. People were very surprised. So it was nice because it was something I worked on all summer, and then everyone I know got to kind of come and celebrate together, and all my cousins got to come, and it was like a big party, and everyone from work got to come. So it was also just a really nice like touch to end my summer. Well, it wasn't the end of my internship, but it was close to the end. And all the other interns went to Milwaukee. I did not go to Milwaukee because my internship ended a week earlier. So I had asked to end a week earlier because I had a family commitment already. Mm-hmm. So there was also the trip to Milwaukee, which I didn't get to go on. I'm assuming they're going to do that again this summer. I really don't know. I didn't know a lot of the details of the trip because I didn't go on it. But that was also really nice that the interns got to do that.
Wow. That's – yeah, that just sounds awesome. I'm kind of like – lost for words. At this point, I'm just testing your Molson knowledge now a little bit. That's all it is.
I don't know if we'll overlap though, because I don't think I'm gonna start till once the interns are done, which is kind of sad.
Dang.
But maybe we will. I don't know. I haven't gotten my start date. Maybe there'll be like a couple weeks of overlap.
We'll see. Fingers crossed. It'd be cool. Yeah. That's about all I have. I mean, honestly. I don't know if I'll ask you now officially, you know, if you can want to ask me any questions, if you can think of any, but what we talked about or beyond.
I guess my one question, I feel like my Molson one was kind of, that was my one question, but that wasn't really a question. Anyways, I just said, do you want to talk about Molson? But what is like your biggest like personal or professional goal right now?
Oh, shoot. That's a great question. And I will say just about Molson, I feel like I could talk about it a lot, but I don't, I'm going to like fanboy over it.
No, that's so okay. Hard. I'm excited for your content once you start. I'm sure you'll talk about, do you any solo episodes? I'm so sorry that I'm like so not knowledgeable, but do you have solo episodes or is it just interview based?
So, okay. So I had a plan to do a solo episode where it was like, I'm like interviewing myself, kind of keep up with the theme, and it's like, I'm talking to David as a guest. I don't know how it would actually play out, but it's not something I'm like kind of opposed to.
That's cool. I like that. Solo episodes are kind of weird. It took me a while to get, I feel like the last one I posted, which was this past week, was my only episode, my first solo episode where I personally like was really proud of it and I really liked it. My other ones, they're not bad. I just didn't like them as much. I wasn't as happy with the end product. But this last one I posted, I was like, okay, this is like, feels authentic. It feels really good. Like, I would want to listen to this. I think it takes a while, especially when you're so used to having a guest and like having someone else to feed off the energy and bounce back and forth. Solo episodes, I feel like after the first 20 minutes of me talking, I'm like, are my words just jumbling or are they making sense? I have no one to tell me if they are or not.
So that was your the Lucky Girl Syndrome one, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Did you listen to it, let me know. Did you like it?
I messaged you guys, like I DM'd.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
I downloaded it right away.
Phenomenal. Do you agree with my, I'm not going to spoil it because I want people to listen to it. Because I think I have never seen anyone on TikTok have my take on it or explain the thought process that I had towards it. But did you agree with it? You can just say yes or no.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think it was very true. And honestly, you know, obviously I don't really have Lucky Girl Syndrome itself. But it kind of made me think, like, because I've had times where I've kind of felt like, oh, like, I'm just getting this just, like, by chance, by luck. And I'm just like, and I think to myself, I'm like, it just happened. Like, I don't know what I did.
I feel the same way. When I tell you there have been, like, classes I've taken sometimes, so I get my final mark back, and I'm like, I can't believe I got so lucky. I can't believe they accidentally just, like, gave me this mark. I don't know why. I don't know if those are, like, intrusive thoughts or if those are, like, I don't know what it is, but... Yeah, if you know anything about TikTok and Lucky Girl Syndrome, I would recommend listening to that episode. But anyways, back to my question for you.
Well, sorry, before that, this is all over the place, but I love it. Keeping it chill. That's not that. Yeah. Oh, shoot. Hold on, I lost my train of thought there for a second.
We're talking about Lucky Girl Syndrome.
Yes, Lucky Girl Syndrome. And that... Right, so feeling lucky, like I guess with like the most thing with the networking event, like how it ended up here, and when I look back at the series of events that led to it, I'm like, this is just luck. Like, I don't know how it happened. It's just out of my control. But for myself, I've tried to do a lot of reflecting this past month and kind of work on that. And then I think about it, I'm like, because one thing I talked to my parents about and my girlfriend's dad about is like being prepared and putting yourself in the best position to succeed. And it's kind of what your episode made me think of. It's like things that may seem lucky or just kind of by chance. When you think about it, a lot of times I feel like it can be because you put in the effort at one point or another, and it led to you being put in a position to seize this opportunity. And you
100%. 100%. And I feel like especially from like as a woman, I think you're already, or like even as a minority in general, people are like, oh, you only got that because you're a minority. Like you're the diversity hire. Like they had to have a woman on the team, so they hired you. Like you already, even people aren't saying that. That's like something we already like internally have to deal with. And like still as like minorities, like we're still fighting for our seat at the table and like trying to advocate to like ensure that our voices are heard. So to me, when I look at this kind of trend that's being targeted to especially the young girls, like girls that are in high school, like early high school, I think it's so detrimental to think that everything you get is just because you're a lucky girl. And I know that the intent behind it like is not malicious at all, but I think it's important to kind of like recognize like, okay, let's not think that just everything in life that you got is because you're a lucky girl because you like said some affirmations in the morning. That's not why you're here. Because again, nothing just like is handed to you on a silver platter. Like there are so many things, and we don't, even just in general, like men and women, everyone, we don't spend a lot of time reflecting to think back to everything that has gotten us here. And obviously luck is involved. Like they say that like luck is a combination of being at the right place, the right, no, I don't know what the saying is. There's a saying something about luck, but obviously like you create your own luck. If you put yourself in good positions and like set yourself up for good opportunities, and like the luck's going to come. If you don't, the luck's not just going to come and like, hey, Stacey, here you go. You can be the CEO in 40 years. Yeah. It's not just going to happen. That's going to be like years and years of work. I mean, even like using Alex Earl as an example, every single person is like, she's so lucky. She just blew up. She's been posting on TikTok since 2020. We're in 2023 now. Like it's been 3 years in making. It's like you starting TikTok seriously right now and not blowing up until 2025, 2026. Yeah, by that point, you'd be like, yeah, it's my time finally to blow up.
Yeah.
Obviously, again, there's like luck involved. And I think there's a lot of different factors when you're trying to look at like algorithms and TikTok. But it's not just luck. And that's kind of like where, now I feel like I spoiled the episode. But that's just where my thought process was on that topic and trend. So I agree with what you're saying about how it's, you make your own luck and you have to make those opportunities for yourself.
Yeah. And I that's why I love like your podcast as a whole, and especially that episode. And I mean, it honestly empowered me a little bit, I felt, even though I may not be the target audience, but it's like, yeah, it's like what may look like just dumb luck to somebody, they don't really see what goes on behind the scenes, you know? And it's like, even, go ahead.
I was just going to quickly say that it's not that you're not the target audience. Like I love when like everyone can be a listener of Business Casual.
Right.
I just focus on the female perspective. I feel like that's kind of a misconception. People are like, oh, it's for girls. Like it's not. It's like, yeah, so obviously like we're a bit of a girls club. Like, you know, a lot of our graphics are like, it's girly, like our colors are girly, just because like, I don't know, it's more fun for me. That's just, but It's definitely not only for like women. It's just we highlight female voices because that's just where I want to focus my stories on. So I just wanted to like say, like for anyone listening, if you're like, oh, I shouldn't listen because I'm not a girl, like it's for everyone. Everyone can listen.
Absolutely. Thank you for actually kind of just correcting that, because it's absolutely true. And yeah, I mean, for me personally, I've been enjoying it a lot. I think it's really awesome to just hear that different perspective instead of the traditional like, oh, here's a guy who did well. And it kind of just,
yeah.
Obviously everyone has their own kind of things, but I think it's really interesting to see women, especially in business and STEM and all these different sectors, and hear about the struggles and the things that they went through and their experiences. And I think it's just really empowering for everybody to hear.
There are, out of the top 100 business podcasts right now in the States, only 11% either focus on women or are hosted by women. So I think a lot of people, when they think of business podcasts, you see those like clips on TikTok of these like random guys talking about on the podcast, talking about business in a very, not even like a condescending way, but just in a way that like I personally can't relate to at all. And so We're just trying to come at it from a more relatable point of view. I think even just from being like 21 years old, entering corporate or entrepreneurship or STEM or any of those industries. So,
yeah. I think that those podcasts, like they have their own audience, of course, but even for me, it's just like, it's so like, I don't know. It just feels so like manufactured and just so like just distant and not
yeah. real
almost.
And everything in moderation, right? Like you can only have so you can only listen to so many business episodes like before you want something more casual, like the real ones. Yeah. Or you know, you can only have so many like casual episodes before you want something a bit more profound. Like I think everything's in moderation. So you just got to find, you know, the host that you like and the style of episodes you like and the length you like and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. So actually, oh my God, perfect. Because I just saw a question that I wanted. And this is a bit for me, but also for anybody that may be aspiring or thinking about starting their own podcast. What advice do you have that you wish you knew when you first started out with your sister about starting your own podcast?
Okay, I have three things. My first is if you start a podcast, release 3 episodes the first day you start the podcast, especially if you're interview based. Because if you start a podcast, people are going to be really intrigued at the beginning. Like everyone's going to want to know, like, what are they talking about? Like how is their podcast? Like, I don't know. People are judgy. People are nosy. They want to know. So you're going to have a lot of people listening. Let's say you're interview based and you have a guest for your first episode that someone just isn't interested in. If you have 3 episodes, you have 3 chances to get someone's attention if they don't like the first guest. So something that I wish I knew when I started was like, you should release 3 episodes at once, or at least 3 episodes in like a short period of time, so that if someone is interested, but they don't like your first or your second guest, they have like one other chance, maybe like a guest before they don't listen to your podcast again.
Right.
My second piece of advice is you shouldn't be considering a podcast if you're in it for the money. Podcasters, unless you're really big, there is ways to make money and monetize a podcast, but that should not be your main goal. There are a lot of ways to make money on social media, on like user generated content, on like there's a million ways you can make money off of social media. I don't think podcasting is the right one for you. So I think knowing when to monetize your audience is great if you've built a really strong and loyal community, but I don't think you should be in that space if you only want to monetize. And then the third one is just it's consistency. That's the only thing that's gonna help you see any progress with your podcast. If you don't stay consistent with it, it's very unlikely, unless you already have 100,000 followers on your personal account, that you're gonna see any real growth or reward from the show. So definitely consistency. And my last thing is, and this is so hypocritical, I was gonna say audio quality matters, coming from someone who literally had the worst mic ever off Amazon. I just got a new one and now I'm like, guys, audio quality matters. But I do think that there are a lot of things you can do, like using this platform we're recording on, which is called Zencastr, not Zoom. Do not use Zoom. I used Zoom for so many months and it was terrible.
Oh, really?
No Zoom. Yeah, it's how'd so bad.
How'd you record it? Or like, oh, yeah, how'd you record it actually?
You just record on Zoom. There's a record button.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it went off Wi-Fi, so if my guest Wi-Fi was terrible or my Wi-Fi was terrible, which is pretty common, the audio was very bad. Yeah. Don't use Zoom to record. There's a lot of free platforms like this one. And get pretty good headphones. Get a decent mic. My first mic was $60 off Amazon. It wasn't great, but it worked. You can get that. Get a good pair of headphones. And don't use Zoom. So those are my 4 main tips if you're going to start.
Okay, that's good to know. And for everyone else, I think podcasting is interesting because I tried to start up like 4 different podcasts over the years. Some of them were first like solo kind of stuff, and it all kind of fizzled out. I couldn't find the passion. For some reason, this stuck.
Yeah.
This one. But I wonder, so you mentioned, you know, like you have like 3 chances to kind of captivate your audience.
Yeah.
With guests. So for myself, I'm wondering if I can get your opinion. So for me, this podcast, it's not really like having like necessarily super well-known people most of the time. It's like my friends or kind of colleagues. How do you think that would affect my approach to podcasting? Like, what do you think my angle could be?
I think if at the end of the day, you got to think as if you were a random person coming across this podcast, what is going to catch your attention? If they don't know Stacey Speranza, you have to figure out what's going to make them interested in Stacey Speranza. Obviously, there's something that you find interesting in them. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Female Startup Club. I think they do such a good job promoting their podcast. They are pretty big. They have like 10,000 followers on Instagram and like, I don't know how many followers on TikTok, but the way that she introduces her guests is very unique. And she basically makes these like 30 to 60 second clips about the guest's story and like why you should care about their story. And so I'm still learning this and still trying to figure out ways I can do this with my own podcast. But I think it's just about figuring out, I think it's a bit easier for us because if they're from Google, people are going to want to listen. If they're from Marvel, people are going to want to listen. So I think if right. they're not like necessarily from like big companies, people know, you got to convince, like you're a salesperson. You have to sell that episode to someone and that guest. And so I think there's like creative ways you can do that using like TikTok or Reels. You know, if we're going back to YouTube, clickbait. If your episode title is kind of intriguing or you have like, I think those are my tips, I would say. I think I'm still trying to figure the same thing out for myself. So right. I think that's kind of like the advice I would give. Is that helpful at all? Or is that like, you're like, Stacey, that's so obvious. Obviously, I already knew
no,
that.
No, it's very, I'm taking everything you're saying as like a sponge because I feel like you're a little bit more seasoned as a podcaster than I. So yeah, I'm taking everything you're saying. Just like,
I think people overcomplicate. Like, I think trial and error is a great strategy. Like, just try things and see how it goes. Try things, like take notes. That's us on TikTok right now. I tried starting up the Business Casual TikTok last year at the beginning of January. I made like 3 videos and I never touched it again. And then I just logged back in. I actually thought the account was deleted. It wasn't. So we actually logged back in at the beginning of January and we're posting like consistently again. And I think like for me right now, it's all about trial and error. I don't care if a video gets 50 views or like 5,000 views. I'm just trying to see what sticks and conversion. Like what makes people, I don't care if it gets 10,000 views. If not one person actually followed us on Instagram or followed the podcast, that 10,000 views means nothing to me. So I think conversion is also important for podcasting. And if people aren't, like, let's say they're following you on Instagram and they're not listening to your podcast, like, ask them why. Like, I have friends that don't listen. And I was like, I just don't listen to podcasts. Well, okay, like, why? Is it like you don't have time? Is it like you don't know? And like, oh, like, can you post like summaries of the episodes? I'm like, okay. Like, okay, maybe that's like a different type of content. Like, I think asking for feedback is also, and just like trial and error are all things that we just are trivial, but we just don't really think about them every day.
Yeah, because I've heard that a lot. And I mean, I get it, it's a fair thing. Like, I just don't listen to them. I don't listen to podcasts, but I always want to know why. And I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start asking my friends and just people, why not?
Feedback is like so important. My like parents and my sister would give me like really honest feedback at the beginning. Like, Stacey, you sound like Valley Girl, or you said amazing, or like a million times. It was so annoying. Honestly, that was really hard to hear. But I needed to hear it in order to get better. So feedback is also so important. If there are guests that people think are boring, like, I want to know because I don't want to have a similar guest on again. Because to me, I think everyone is exciting because it's my own podcast. I get that. And I have the power. So I think everyone's exciting. But I also get that people don't. And I've gotten a lot of feedback recently that people want more solo episodes. People love the guest episodes, but they also just love hearing my thoughts on different topics. So like that's something as a podcaster I have to take into account. So feedback is also very powerful and don't neglect it. Leverage that. Even if you have 5 listeners, find those 5 listeners and ask them, why do you listen? When do you stop listening? Which one was your favorite? Which one was your least favorite? That's all going to help you continue to grow and figure out, like, really hone in on like your brand and your vision for the future.
Wow. That's really good. Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to be rewatching this. Just because that was, yeah, I've never, like, I knew in my head, it's like, okay, it'd be good to, you know, ask listeners what they're doing, but I never thought to actually do it because I felt like that would be, I don't know, weird, or maybe like a fear of like getting no responses almost.
I think there, it's also about like going to family and friends or anyone who listens that maybe isn't mm-hmm. someone that's external to your close family and friends circle or social network. Anyone who listens, whoever you can find, ask them. I think even if they're not external to your family and friends, that they're still really important to get feedback in general.
Okay. Once we finish this, I'm going to be asking everybody, all my friends, all my family, what do you think? Tell me.
Yeah. Even just asking, like, what was your favorite episode? What was your least favorite episode? that to me, because obviously people are going to be like, oh, like, it's great. Like, you're doing such a good job. No, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that. I want to hear that. But I also want to hear, like, what I'm not doing a good job on. And
right.
I feel like asking, like, what's your favorite? What's your least favorite? That's gold. Because then you can go back to that least favorite and be like, oh, like, honestly, I was, like, kind of slow. Like, I wasn't very high energy. I took a really long time to get into the topic of the episode. Or, like, I didn't really introduce the guest very well. Some people didn't know who she was. And then the episodes people liked, I'm like, okay, like, vibes are amazing. Conversation's just going so easily. I'm doing, going back and forth between questions, like, nothing. I introduced the guest so easily. As I trip on all my words. So I think there's also value in that. It's a very simple question too. It doesn't require a lot of effort on someone else's part.
Okay. I like that. I'm trying to absorb everything. I don't even know, like, how to respond to it appropriately. It's good.
I'm glad it's helpful. Sometimes I've been doing a lot more, not podcast consulting, but I've had a lot of people who reach out to me saying they want to start a podcast and having, like, Zoom calls with them. And I'm also still learning. So sometimes I feel like I say things and then they're like, oh, this is so helpful. I'm like, is it really? Like, I don't know if you're lying to me or is it actually helpful? Like, I don't know if what I'm saying helps. I hope it helps. I just didn't have anyone when I started the podcast. I didn't know anyone else who had a podcast, and the people I did, like, I reached out to never got back to me. So we really just learned everything on the fly. We did not have any guidance or support from anyone else.
I like that. No, it's like I see it on TikTok. It's like how guys would be like, I don't want to gatekeep the skincare routine. There's no need to gatekeep the podcasting tips.
There's no more gatekeeping in 2023. Because people are gatekeeping in 2020, okay? Let me tell you, the really? Podcasters were gatekeeping. I couldn't find any information on how to start a podcast.
That's right.
I just kept, people kept telling me to buy their course. I was like, I'm not buying no course. I don't want to buy a course. Really? I just want to learn. Yeah. Yeah.
Would you sell a course?
I don't think I would sell a course. I think I would, like, actually like to do more podcast consulting. And I would, like, love if someone wanted to hire me and I could do, like, a deep dive into their podcast and we could do, like, sessions. And I feel like I could create, like, templates that could help people. Like, that's been on my mind. I don't think a course – I think course is a lot of work to put on. And
yeah,
I just don't think also there's, like, a one-size-fits-all for podcasts. Like, the advice that I needed when I started my podcast can be different than you need for yours because we have different niches and different genres. Mm-hmm. So – I think I would love to do more podcast consulting and maybe do more, like, one-on-one calls, but that is the kind of the extent. Once I'm done school though, right now there's not enough time for that, but I do want to be more involved because I love helping people and looking at different people's podcasts and seeing if there's ways that I can help and support.
That's awesome. I think that kind of energy needs to be put out into the podcasting universe more.
Like it.
Yeah. I mean, Stacey, that's all for me. I don't know if you have any last remarks.
You never answered my question.
Oh, shoot. Okay, well, do you remember it by chance?
Yeah, it was, what is your biggest personal or professional goal right now?
Oh, okay. I could say both. I think because I kind of have a personal goal and a professional goal, okay. If I may.
Of course. Stage is yours.
So professionally right now, I'm kind of at a point in my career, which is kind of weird to say, where I just want to get as much experience as I can everywhere. So, like, right now I'm working in the public sector for the Government of Canada. In the summer I'll be in the private sector in CPG with Molson. So I just want to get as much experience as I can and see what I want to do with my career in the next couple of years from that. And love I think thank you. And I think personally, something that I've strived to do in 2023 is to, as I'm on a podcast, talk less, listen more. I know it's kind of ironic as I'm saying it on a podcast, but talk less, listen more, and just to practice gratitude, mindfulness, and reflect. Because I feel like for me, those are the three ways that I can find peace and contentness with life. That's all I'm trying to do.
That's really nice. I wish you all the best and all the success. I cannot wait to see where the real ones go. And that was kind of a play on words. Where the real ones, like, the podcast goes. and how it goes at Molson. So thank you so much for having me on. And I look forward to maybe coming back. Maybe we'll do a part two. This episode was so long.
That's okay. The door is always open. Thank you so much, Stacey, and to everyone listening. I hope you enjoy this week's episode, and goodbye.